I invite you to turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53, as we got closer and closer to service time, we begin to hear and know about more amongst us that are sick and ailing and healing and all those things that different ones are dealing with. And Lord, just impressed upon my heart to bring a message along this line. It's something that I've considered and thought about and we've known about in the scriptures, and it just seems appropriate for where we are tonight, okay, with where our church, the membership of our church, those connected to our church and things that are being dealt with. In Isaiah 53, here Brother Isaiah is going to the Lord, it seems, and that he's going to the Lord regarding his ministry, okay? These things are prophetic regarding Christ. But he in his time, he's going to the Lord about his ministry and the message that he has. And of course, this is inspired of the Lord and given to him. But I think when Isaiah writes these things, from the standpoint of the question that he asks, here in the first verse, he really means it. And we might feel this way, okay? We might feel this way at times. Who hath believed our report, okay? Who hath believed our report? And Isaiah, a man of God in a wicked day, in a wayward day by the children of Israel, his prophecy and his ministry was ignored by the majority, I'm sure. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who really sees the power of the Lord? He goes on here and he says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. And this is prophetic about Christ. And as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Christ was not a handsome man when he came. I think that very much Christ was just another fellow that blended into the crowd until he spoke. And then when he spoke, it was revealed who he was. Verse number 3, he is despised and rejected of men. Here's our focus for tonight. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Come over to Matthew chapter 8. During the time of our Lord's ministry, in this chapter, we see our Lord going about doing good, as the Scripture says about Him, and being a testimony of the salvation of the Lord and the gospel that He is going to fulfill. And in this chapter, in the front end of this chapter, we see some interesting things. And so let's read here. In Matthew 8, verse number 1, when he, that is Jesus, was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, I find that very interesting. Do you find anybody in the Scripture coming to Jesus that he does not help and does not heal? If they come to him, the Lord works. Now, I'm not saying that we can petition the Lord in every case and that the Lord would heal us completely as he did miraculously in the day of his ministry. But you know what? We understand and know from the Scriptures that the Lord's got a calling and a mission for each one of us too as his children. And it may be our Lord's will not to heal us from some things. But if we're going to be healed, who's going to do it? Well, it's going to be our Lord. So this leper says, all that has to be is you want to. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. You know, this is in conjunction and is there. And you know, what we've talked about it recently about that we need to pray in faith. We need to pray and petition our Lord. I was thinking about this earlier in the week. You know, I'm tempted to say, rather than say the word pray, and that's a very scriptural word, but we need to petition and talk with our Lord about the things that we need. Don't think that prayer is some mystical kind of thing or mysterious kind of thing. It is a great wonder how the Lord does hear and how he does work. But we know that he does, and we need to go to the Lord with what we need. We need to talk to him about it. We talk to one another, don't we? We visit We converse. We need to do so. This man did so. He said, all you have to do is want to. And the Lord said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Which that was really going to be something, what was going to happen there. This man went from being a leper to immediately clean. They would find no blemish in him. In the review that the priests would do over a period of time, they would say, how are you healed? How is it that this is healed? Leprosy could be, someone could be healed from leprosy and it would steadily go away. This man was made whole. So any parts that he had lost due to leprosy, he gained back. It would be miraculous. And so the Lord said, don't tell about me, but go show yourself and do those things that Moses commanded. And it would be so that he would tell about Jesus. Verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him. So this is a Roman soldier leader, okay, over a squadron of 100 men, a centurion. Beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. So the man asked. Now this man's likely a Gentile. It's probably 90%, 95% sure that he's a Gentile. He comes to the Lord, he says, I've got a servant. He's grievously tormented with this infirmity of palsy, and I need your help. The centurion answered, verse 8, and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. This man has put many to shame. He comes and says, Lord, I've got a man in my household sick of the palsy, and I need your help. He said, okay. The Lord says, okay, I'll come over there and do something for him. The man says, I'm not worthy for you to come over under my roof. The man is very humble, isn't he? The man is nigh unto repentance. It's almost, I don't know, but it's almost that he's believed the preaching and the message of the Lord. He does indeed have faith that the Lord can do something. And he says, all you've got to do is speak the word. He said, I know about authority because I've got this responsibility. And what I command to be done is done of my own. It'll be the same way with you. The Lord says, the scripture says that he said, the Lord marveled. Now, the Lord knew what would be done, but as a man, he marveled and was thrilled with this. He says, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. And remember about the words faith, believe, trust, hope, receive. They're all based on Christ. We can say, verily I say unto you, I have not seen so great faith in me. No, not in Israel. Because that's what it is. It's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. His faith is on, I know you can do it. I know you can do it. And I say unto you, verse 11, many shall come from the east, from the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Lord says there's going to be some unexpected people there in that last day with the Lord and His. And it'll be those that have faith in Him. And Jesus said to the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Verse 14, and when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. So yet another that the Lord sees sick. It doesn't say anything about they petitioning him for Peter's mother-in-law, but he sees that that's the case. These are closer to the Lord of the family of his own disciples, and he touches her hand. And she is healed immediately, and she's so much so she's able to get up and minister. And when the even was come, verse 16, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. Now that was not an obstacle for the Lord. Remember Brother Doug's lesson this past Sunday. And he cast out the spirits with his word. All he had to do is say, go. Go. Leave them alone. Get out of them. And he cast the spirits out with his word, out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. Verse 17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, that is Isaiah, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. This reference is to that verse over in Isaiah that I read. That's what it's believed. And, of course, in our English translation, the words are very much different. In Isaiah 53:3, it says, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But here, the Scripture makes clear that it is that passage, by Isaiah, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Jesus bears our infirmities and sicknesses. In Luke chapter 8, we come over here, and I find this very interesting. And a man by the name of Jairus is there in Capernaum. He's a leader in the synagogue. And the Lord has come back over from Gadara. And we pick it up here in verse number 40. In verse number 40, it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was ruler of the synagogue, and fell down at Jesus' feet, and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed by of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood was staunched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Everybody's touching you. Everybody's getting up against you. Listen, verse 46. And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. This word virtue is not like the virtue that we're looking at over in 2 Peter chapter 1, where we're to add to our faith virtue. There is a sense where they are connected, but it's not the same Greek word. This is strictly talking about power. Power, miraculous, marvelous power. And the thing, the thought that I want to have, I want us to consider tonight, it says in Matthew that the Scripture was fulfilled that he himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Here, this woman, in faith, as he's going to help Jairus and his daughter in that situation, this woman that's along the way has this issue at hand. She's suffered with it for so many years. And she touches the Lord in faith, and he says, power has gone out of me. How is it when the Lord works and heals? We know it is by his power. But Isaiah and Matthew testifying to the fact that the Scripture is being fulfilled, it says, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. What is it that the Lord does for us when he helps us and he heals us? And with this lady here that had this issue of blood for 12 years and sought, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. She had faith that that would be the case. How is it that the Lord bears our sicknesses? The Scripture says that he does. He took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Does he still do so? Does virtue and power go from our Lord when he does so? You know, it's so easy for us to think that because the Lord has such infinite power. That for Him to do for us is like, in a manner of speaking, no skin off of His nose. But remember that Jesus is a man, and I'm not saying that Jesus is subject to anything. He was subject to the Father to fulfill the will of the Father and came and won our redemption for us. And He submitted Himself to the cross, a terrible, terrible death. And He's got power over all things. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. But when the Lord does help us and does heal us, does He not continue to bear our infirmities and take upon Him our sicknesses? Does the Lord care about His own? Sure He does. He surely does. And we're going to look in the Scriptures and I think see some things that will help us with this. But does virtue, power go out of the Lord when He heals? Does He feel it? I know from the standpoint of God, His power is infinite, but He does care. He is compassionate. He does care for us. I perceive that virtue is going out of me. What about when these others, the lepers, that the leper that was healed and Peter's mother, was that not by His power? And I'm not saying that the Lord is diminished or made weak in any way. But I think, maybe the greatest thing that it has to do with is the Lord truly does sympathize with us. Understand the difference between sympathy and empathy. Empathy is when you've broken your foot and you've got a cast on it. You've had to have surgery and all that, for example. And I say, oh, I'm so sorry that you've broken your foot and you're going through all that pain and that healing and everything, but I've never broken my foot. I don't know what it feels like. I don't know how it is to be debilitated by it. I don't know how it is to maybe going forward having limitations because of it. I try to think about how it would be and try to comfort you, but I just don't really know. But then you break your foot and I broke my foot too. I get how it is. I get how rehab is. I get how the loss of maybe or when the storm's moving in, how that really feels. What you're going to be feeling having just broken, got your foot repaired. Empathy and sympathy. You know, there is this truth that we only can empathize with our Lord, but our Lord indeed always sympathizes with us. He took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Virtue is going out of the Lord. Let's go on and read what's said here in verse 47. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came before Him, she came trembling, and falling down before Him, she declared unto Him before all the people for what cause she had touched Him, and how she was healed immediately. And He said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. She was fearful that maybe she had done something wrong or would bear the rebuke of the people maybe. He says, daughter, be of good comfort. There is nothing better than having faith in the Lord. Nothing better. Thy faith in Me hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And while He yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to Him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the Master. It's too late. It's too late. And when Jesus heard it, He answered him, saying, fear not, believe only. Believe in Me only. Remember, faith, trust, believe, hope, rest in. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when He came into the house, He suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father of the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but He said, sleep, weep not. She's not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed Him to scorn. What a terrible thing, knowing that she was dead. And He put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again. And she rose straightway, and He commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. And of course, you and I know that when folks would ask, or the doctor that was there, or the nurse that was there attending, that told the crowd, told the family that she had died, they would know of a surety that she did die. And they'd say, how in the world was she made whole? And the focus would indeed come upon our Lord. But he did not desire that. This little girl dead, 12 years old. Did virtue go out of the Lord when he brought her back to life? Did he bear that infirmity? Did he take on that sickness? You know, we come to a passage, and I like this one. This is a wonderful passage, too, in Luke chapter 17, the compassion of our Lord. In Luke chapter 17, let's see here. Let's read verse number 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And that's what they were to do. They were not to come near. They couldn't come in town. They had to have something draped over their mouth, their nose, and that. When anybody would come near to them, they would have to declare, and Israel being a Jew, they would have to declare unclean, unclean. We don't know if these are Jews or not, but that would be the command and the order amongst the Jews. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Do they believe that Jesus can do something? They sure do. They believe. Have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. The Lord gave the command of what they were to do, and as they progressed toward the priest, their leprosy was going away from their bodies. And I believe that if they had lost the tip of their ear or their nose or their face or their fingers, toes, which that's the way leprosy works, it was restored. And they went from having lost those parts to where they were better than new. Their skin would be restored. We're not talking about them being healed in a body full of scars, which leprosy would leave. But we're talking about they were made whole. They were cleansed. And it came to pass, verse 14, there in the middle, that as they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. And so he realized this and saw this. They all believed the Lord and went forth to head towards the priest, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And here we have who it is. And he was a Samaritan, part Gentile, part Jew. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith in me, if you will, hath made thee whole. Well, as the Lord healed these fellows, did he take on himself their infirmity? Did he bear their sickness? Was there virtue, certainly, that went out of our Lord? I say and believe that there was. The Lord does that somehow. He sympathizes with the leper. He sympathizes with those that die. He sympathizes with those that have the issue of blood. In regards to the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry, it's very important that we mention this, and we'll find it here. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. That you'll find this account in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Okay, synoptic means they go along telling the same timeline and the same account from beginning to end. not all tell all details of it, but they're more in agreement in their time frame. The Gospel of John is kind of skewed towards the end of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, a greater zooming in on the final days of the Lord Jesus. And so that's the difference between the Gospels. And you need to be looking that, studying that, and feeding upon that. Certainly if you're saved, you need to know about these things about your Lord. The Lord says, learn of me. Here in Luke chapter 5, you know this account, and we come down here to verse number 18. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with the palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. Luke 5:19. And when they could not, when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up to the house upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith in him, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now understand what the Lord's doing. The Lord knows what this man's need is, and this man needs to be saved. He also knows who he's dealing with. Because listen to this. And the scribes and the Pharisees, which were in the house with him, began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And that's the point. God is in their midst. Our Lord Jesus is God Almighty in the flesh, God the Son. And so he's making a point with them, and then he's meeting every need of this man. And these four that bring him, they find they can't get through the door, they can't get through the window. How are we going to get our loved one, our friend, in there before Jesus? Because all we've got to do is get him before Jesus, and Jesus will heal him. They believe that Jesus can do it, and they believe that Jesus will. So they tear back the roof on the place, and they just begin to lower this man down. Can you imagine being inside and beginning to see the tiling come off the roof, and the dust and the dirt and everything that's there, the plaster, whatever's at hand, coming loose? You've got a couple reactions. You've got the Lord Jesus, which knows who knows what's going on. You've got these Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, and lawyers that are here, and they're, you know, worried about getting dirty. You've got the woman of the house, which is just, she's just flabbergasted because the roof in her living room or kitchen is getting opened up, and then what is going on? You've got the man of the house that's saying, what is going on here? And then you've got the man that is being dropped down there before the Lord. You reckon that man's got a smile on his face? And then you've got those four up there on the roof with confidence are dropping their friend down before the Lord. A lot of things going on there. And so the Lord takes care of the greatest need of the man and forgives him his sins. He saves him. The Pharisees and scribes, they buck against that. Verse number 22, but when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easy to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? Which is easier? The Lord says, I'm going to do the hard part first. He saved him. He forgave him of his sins. He said, why are you thinking this? The Lord knows what's going on in our hearts and our minds always. Which is easier? To forgive him of his sins or to heal him? Listen, verse 24, key verse. I recommend you underline it in your Bible. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He's the Savior. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. See, the Lord did all the miracles of healing and the miraculous healing that he did in his day to prove that he is the Savior. If you're here and you're not saved, he can save you. He's got the power. He's got the ability. There's no issue about that. Will you believe? I pray that you will. I pray that you would trust in him and you would rest in him and believe in him. Not what you can do, not what you can feel, not what you can conjure up or pay God or promise God. Understand, it's not about you and me holding out. We can't hold out. We just rest and trust in our Lord. He's the one that says, come unto Him. So it's very important to know that all the miracles are for the purpose that it might be known amongst men that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He's the forgiver. We're the guilty, and He's the forgiver. He said unto the sick of palsy, I heal you. Get up. Take up your couch and go into thine house. And immediately he arose, verse 25, up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. I wonder what the fellow did when he got home. He was on a mission by the Lord until he got home, because the Lord told him to go home. Wonder what, you reckon he just plopped down on his couch and turned on the TV or read the newspaper or whatever? I figure he turned around and came right back to the Lord. I don't know. But I wonder about that. Verse 26, and they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. What about this? The Lord took on the infirmity. The Lord bare that man's sickness. Did not our Lord bear that man's sins to the cross? Did virtue go out of our Lord? In conclusion, in this thought, and that's all we want to do is just to conjure up consideration about this. How our Lord sympathizes with us. Jesus bears our infirmities and our sicknesses. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 26, we don't have Jesus physically in our presence anymore, but we have the Spirit of God living within. We've got the Spirit of God working in the church here. And the Scripture says this in verse number 26 of Romans chapter 8, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Our Lord is still at hand. He's not here physically. He doesn't touch us physically, but He is at hand. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know what? You and I might think that we need healed now. We might think that we need our sight saved. We might think that we would need to walk again. But our Lord knows what He wants to do in us and how He wants to use us. We should well go to Him for what we desire. And the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Does Jesus still take on Himself the infirmities and bear the sickness of His people? I believe that He does. In Romans chapter 15, here's another point just in this, and final thoughts regarding this. You know what we need to do? Well, as the children of God and members here at Olmsted Baptist Church, in Romans 15, verse number 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. There's a lot of ways to be weak. I'm just not talking about muscle, and I'm not just talking about financial. And not to please ourselves. You know what? We certainly need to be willing to bear the infirmities of one another. And we do. We try all we can to sympathize, don't we? And different things that we do to show that we care. And the main thing that we need to do is pray to our Lord that He would work and to be there as we are able. In Hebrews chapter 4, it tells us more about our Lord, and I think this tells us how He works for us now. We certainly think about works on our behalf. We certainly think about the Lord in regards to things regarding sin and the salvation of the soul and service and forgiveness of sins as His people. But how about it is and living? How is it with living life? In Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14, seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession in Him, our faith in Him. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's not a long way off. He's a long way off physically. He's not a long way off spiritually. And He is not never so separated from us that He doesn't know what we are going through. He knows what it is to have a sinus infection. He knows what it is to have the flu. He knows what it is to have cancer. He gets it. We try to empathize with one another, but our Lord always sympathizes with us. He took on our infirmities. He does so now, I believe, and bears our sicknesses. He says, we don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows. But was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. That being the case, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. It's a throne where grace is dispensed, favor from the Lord. I will, be thou clean. That was the grace of the Lord. Don't get tripped up over the word, that word grace. That word grace is just talking about the favor of the Lord, the ability of the Lord to work on our behalf where we cannot. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Who's sitting on the throne? Is it not the Father and the Son? Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. Boldly. We belong there. We're His children. That we may obtain mercy. Oh yeah, mercy is dispensed there. Not getting what we deserve. I deserve to get pneumonia and the flu and go on and die. But the Lord's merciful. And He heals and He helps and He gives us life. And it's not just this thing where the Lord's got a magic wand and He just zaps out this power. He has infinite power. But our Lord takes on our infirmities and bears our sicknesses. There's something there at hand. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, having this high priest and this sympathetic high priest as He is, that we may obtain mercy and find grace, find the favor of God to help in time of need. Are you sick? You get sick? You got loved ones that are sick or injured or hurting? We need to pray for one another. We need to go to the Lord, supplicate one for another, and go to the Lord even for ourselves. In James chapter 5, remember this. And we took the Lord up on this in regards to Brother Nicky. And probably should do it more. But his situation was just so getting compounded and compounded. And the Lord forgive me for not understanding leadership to do so in other cases. But listen to what the Scripture says and what Brother James writes, what our Lord tells us. Verse 13 of James 5. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Pray to who? Pray to the Lord. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms unto the Lord. Okay? Not that music of the world. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And, well, that would be good, is good. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And I believe this is talking about this anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord is the state-of-the-art medicine. Use the medicine that you know. If that's oil and wine, use that. If it's antibiotics, use that. If it's treatment, use that, whatever it is, in the name of the Lord. Lord, you bless it. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. What's it say? It doesn't say that the medicine will, but the prayer of faith. So we need to pray one for another. And we know that our Lord hears. We need to know that our Lord hears. And our Lord does know, sympathize, and bears these infirmities and bears these sicknesses. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. You hear that? The Lord shall raise him up. Just like J.R. Iris' daughter. He raised her up. You think virtue goes out of the Lord? I believe it does, even yet. That power. He knows it. He feels it. He's very sympathetic. You know how a mother will care for a young child when they're ill and sick? They love them. They care for them. There's a tenderness and a compassion that's there. The Lord's compassion for His children is greater even than that. The Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, If he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. I want to close with Psalm 103. Listen to what the Scripture says here, and it's very close to what we see in Isaiah. In Psalm 103, and here at the beginning of the chapter, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. He blesses us with so much. Verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, all of our sins, all of our transgressions against him. Listen, who healeth all thy diseases. There's only help and healing from our Lord. There's only help and healing from him. And you know what? Even in sickness, which is our main topic for tonight, and the Lord bearing those, listen to what it goes on to say here in verse number 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Not only does our Lord help with our diseases, our illness, but he's our Savior too. If you're here and you're not saved, he can be your Savior too through repentance and faith. Look to him. May we look to him. And may we know that our Lord, as it says in Matthew, takes our infirmities and bears our sicknesses. And pray for these of our number that are down. Let's stand together as Brother Jamie comes. And if you're here and you're not saved, we point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and believe in him. Trust in him. Rest in him.